Father, we just want to acknowledge you today. We open our hearts to you. For Father, without the precious blood of Jesus, none of us would be alive. We thank you for the precious blood of your Son. And Father, we appropriate it not only on the day of our salvation, but every day of our lives. Even here this morning, Father, we appropriate the blood of Jesus to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us in right standing with you. Oh God, God, we ask you forgive our sins this morning. Every sin we have committed, oh God. Hallelujah. Father, we ask that the blood would wash us right now. My God, you said, is there anything too difficult for you? You said, Lord, that the sacrifices of God is a broken and a contrite heart, in which you will in no wise cast out. God, we want to open our hearts to you. We want to rend our hearts, not our garments. We do not want to come in and not open our hearts to you, God. My God, we may fool one another, but we cannot fool you. And God, we are asking that you would take this stony heart of ours and turn it into a tender heart of flesh. My God, we need a change in our lives. And it is only you that can change us, oh God. So Father, we call upon your mighty name. We call upon your name today. Have your way in our lives. Grant us the grace that we need to feed, Father, from the man of heaven. For you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live by. God, we need your ear, the anointed ear of God today to be able to hear you and to be able to assimilate, even as we eat natural food, that we can eat spiritual food and assimilate it into our bodies that we might have the energy and strength to do your will, God. Help us today. Help each one of us today. You know our beginnings, you know our end. And we ask for your mercies, your blood, and your life to come to us today, Lord. We just want to tell you we love you, Lord. We want to open our hearts up to you. And we ask that you forgive us, you change us, and God, that you instruct us. Teach us the way that we're to go, Lord. So that, Father, that we do not turn to the right nor to the left, but we follow the straight and narrow path that leads to life. God, we do not want to go the way that is wide and full of destruction. We want to go on the path that is straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. God, touch each of us here today. Give us what you want to give us, that we would be more than satisfied knowing that we have been in your presence, oh God. We ask this in your precious name today. Amen.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for bringing us from the byways and the highways, bringing us to your table. We thank you for the feast that you are making for us upon this mountain. You said you will give us a feast of refined wine, of the very choice of heaven, bringing in the oil and the wine. Breaking the bread, even your body. And you said when we eat and we drink, that will you raise us up on the last day. Lord, we receive by faith that energy to break off all the coverings of religion, of deception. We come to partake, O Lord, of this feast. Yes. And we believe that the entrance of your word will bring light to the darkness within our soul. Yes. Let it judge the darkness. Hallelujah. Let the sword of the king be strong upon the heart of the king's enemies. Let all that hate our God be like that young man Absalom. Oh, yeah. Judge the rebellion within our hearts. Yeah. Judge the rebellion in the home, in the church, in the altar, in the holy place. Yeah. Let the government of man be like the government of Saul. And let the kingdom of our God, let the banner of righteousness be raised within our soul. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the authority of the king. For the shout of the king will be in our midst. Hallelujah. I will ask, Lord, that you will bind every unclean spirit, every spirit sent to come against and to interfere. Today, right now, we command judgment upon them. That they'll be bound and cast into the abyss. In the name of Jesus. Let the spirits of religion be judged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the veil be taken away. And hallelujah. And let the glorious light of this glorious gospel of Christ, it will shine. It will explode within us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let the gates of brass be broken. Let the bars of iron be broken asunder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive our deliverance and our freedom, that we might bring forth a true offering unto you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I just feel that we should continue from where we stopped last yesterday, talking about the peace offering. By the way, we have very few copies of these two books. Priesthood. It deals much with the traditions and the things in the church. And this other one, Midnight, which it's very good, it's very basic about some of the things we've been talking about, and dealing with where the church is now and the things coming. So I will leave a few copies here and can pick. I'm looking at Revelation 17. There's a difference between religion and a true offering, bringing a true offering to God. All over this city, this morning, people are in different religious gatherings. And it's possible that we can also have a religious gathering in this room. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah. So it doesn't depend on who you are, whatever platform you are walking on. God looks at the heart. Man is often interested in organizations, in social gatherings, but God is looking for an offering. And the highest offering you can bring, and that I can bring to God, is a peace offering. And we're looking at the soul. We've been talking about the soul, because that is the altar of God. Whatever altar you may have seen or read about in Israel was just a type of the real altar. And the real altar is your heart. Every other thing that you may have read about, Abraham raising an altar or Moses raising an altar, is pointing to you, to the altar of your emotions, your feelings, your passions, your mind. That is what God has been speaking about. So God is saying the church needs to move forward. We are redefining our boundaries. We are redefining our operations. We are reordering our business. Everything is up for, we are going back to the drawing board. Because the church is about to take off. Church is about to start. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? After so many years, church is just about to start. You know that's what I say, it just begun to move again. In our generation. Even though he's done much more, yet he's about to even begin to walk. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're talking about offering, the peace offering. And the picture given in Revelation 17 and Revelation 13 is classic. You know, it gives you the perfect picture. God speaks in pictures. You know, he speaks in symbols. That is the only way to make the meaning rich. Because when you look at the picture today, you come back 6 months after, you come back to the same picture, you even see more. Amen. Amen. So the more you look, the more you see. Hallelujah. You know, so we're looking at these pictures, Revelation 17. I don't like reading scripture because it distracts me. So I'm going to just give you the scripture so that we can cover some more grounds. Amen. So Revelation 17, I will recommend that you read it with the background of Revelation 13, which goes right back to Genesis 2 and 3. You know, Revelation, it's a handbook of Genesis. You can't understand Revelation without understanding Genesis. You can't understand Revelation without understanding Leviticus. So you see, you have a lot of work to do. Amen. Leviticus is the handbook of the priests. So if you want to be a priest in the kingdom of God, then you have to go back to Leviticus and begin to study how you should bring the real offering. Hallelujah. So Revelation 17, we're just going straight to the point. Okay, verse 3, it says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness." By the way, the wilderness is speaking of your soul and my soul. Yeah. That's the wilderness. There are two pictures. You have the wilderness, you have the garden. So the Garden of Eden, forget it, it's all the story about being somewhere in the Middle East, wherever. That may have been, but that's really beside the point. The real point is that the soul of Adam was the Garden of Eden in the fullest application of it. So we will always go to the fullest. You know, the Bible says your soul will be like a watered garden.
Amen.
And a garden is the place of fellowship, is the place of communion. is the place of comfort. It's the place of rest. And you can go on and on. And no wonder God will come to the garden to commune with Adam. That's who you are. So at the end of the day, you must remember that, because that's what God is going to judge you on. That is the platform that He wants your soul, and that He has made it. That's the potential in you. Whether you believe it or not, that is the potential you have, and that I have, that I am a garden. And in this garden grow fruits, trees of righteousness. And they can go on and on and on. But you see, this garden also has an opposite, and that is a wilderness. The thing that makes a difference in the garden is the water. It's water. And the book, I've looked around, I can see it's a prosperous city. And I know why, because of the Mississippi River. Mississippi. Is that true? No response. Is that true? Without Mississippi, the book will not be anything. Alright? And if you look through geography, there are only probably two or three cities globally that are prosperous that were not situated or located by rivers. The biggest, the most populous one is Johannesburg. And if you've been there, I've been there. The water supply of Johannesburg is tunneled for miles from the Orange River. Johannesburg, South Africa. There's a tunnel to the Orange. That's where they get the water supply. You know, so it's a spiritual principle that for you to have a place that is, you know, where there's life, there must be a source of water. And in Eden, there was a source of supply. The Bible said there was a river that flowed in Eden. It went four ways. I'm sure where you know the direction of those four rivers. They were going to the four dimensions of the soul. You must understand that. And that river is the flow of the Spirit of God. If you go to Revelation 21 and 22, you see, it talks about the river of life, you know, coming from the throne of God. The throne of God is not something flying in the sky. It is you, your heart. And there's a river coming from that throne. If you look at the Greek, it says it was a pure current of fire. That is the Hebrew, that is the Greek translation. A flow of liquid fire. And that is the life of God. So the flow of the Spirit is the life of God coming to the dimensions of your soul. Without the flow of the Spirit, your soul will be like a wilderness. And that is what the devil has achieved by making us all to operate without the flow, without the anointing, influence, nourishment of the Spirit of God. So there are two situations. You have the river coming, and they also have the place where the river has dried up. If the river dries up, that garden will still be fresh, isn't it? For some time, it will be fresh. But you know, if you want to know the result, you will have to go very far or wait. And for how many centuries now? 6,000 centuries. The river has dried up, and the soul of man is increasingly becoming a place of dryness. Look at your society. You only need to look at your society to know that there is no life. You are fighting for yourself. Everyone wants to see you, this other person, this one is sowing. There is lifelessness, destruction, disease, violence, cheating. That is a wilderness. And that is what the soul is. You know, so God is not interested in platforms, that is so-called churches. Roman Catholic Church, Presbyterian Church, Fellowship in Christ. What's the name of this fellowship? The Book Fellowship. God is looking at the garden. He's interested in your soul. Is it a watered garden? That is the platform. If you don't meet up to that mark, you're out. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're an elder, you are whatever you call yourself, that is the platform. And God will not lower it for any man. The platform is set. You don't care if you call yourself an elder, an apostle, doctor, or lawyer, the president, archbishop, pope, most holy, Monsignor, Holy Father. Oh, that is rubbish. The question is your soul a watered garden? Now, if you get that point, then we can close and go home. That is the benchmark. And your soul cannot be a watered garden except by the Holy Ghost. And that is why you must come to Tabernacles. Because it is the place where he says, on that great day of the feast. John chapter 7 deals with the tabernacles. John 7, 37, 39 says, on that great day of the feast, when it was time, what did he do? That Jesus stood in the temple and he cried with a mighty voice, if any man thirst, let him come to the waters and drink. He said, for he said, out of the belly of him that believe, the belly is the soul, shall flow rivers of water. And the Bible says, this spake he of the Spirit, which they should receive who will believe on him. The platform is very clear. So you and I were not going to have any excuse at all. Jesus kept the feast. And how dare any one of us say we will not keep the feast? That means you are a rebel. And there is something that God does to rebels. God has something, a punishment for rebels. Make no mistake about it. Don't even partake of rebellion in the church. Rebellions. Rebels. The Bible said their life shall be like the life of that young man, Absalom. You know Absalom? Was a charismatic young man. Very charismatic. You know? He had all the right connections. Was the son of the king. They used to do fashion show, Jerusalem fashion show. Once every year, they had a fashion show for his hair. They cut the hair, they arrange it and label it, arrange it very well, different. And the men will walk past and they will come to see the hair of Absalom. You think you have something, you are not up to Absalom. You think you have a big thing going for you, go and meet Absalom. And this guy will stay at the gate. When any man comes, he say, oh, that the king had a man to go after. And the Bible says he began to insurrect.
Jesus.
Insurrection. You know what is insurrection? He began to burrow in. To undermine the authority of his father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Didn't his father know? I don't know. And you know he was successful. The coup was successful.
Yeah.
Rebellion will always be successful, let me tell you. Unless you don't know your Bible, it will always be successful. Hallelujah. So it was that day, it was successful, and he established his kingdom. And God and the devil used him to to judge his father. Because David had a little problem. The problem is not the little problem. What God is looking for is not the little problem. God is looking at the heart. Amen. And David had a heart.
Amen.
After the king.
Amen.
So he had a little problem. God will take care of that. So if you go into rebellion because of a little problem, you are missing the mark. You know, so he succeeded and his father ran away. The rebellion was working. It was a new government in town. By the way, that's the definition of witchcraft. Witchcraft is alternative government. Alternative government. That's what witchcraft is. Alternative. Something alternative, something different from the divine order that God has. And it always works. It's always the better way. You know? When David was bringing back the ark, it was very, very convenient to put it on the cart. Why waste time with donkeys and put it on the cart? And then it's more modern, it's more fashionable. But that was rebellion against God's order. You know, rebellion may be very convenient. Why can't you have just one man as pastor? Every other person sees them and he gives you others. It's rebellion. But it's very convenient. Hallelujah. And when the time came to judge Absalom, it was total. David was sympathetic. And you better be careful with sympathy.
Amen.
You better be careful with sympathy. Yeah. David was sympathetic. He went out of his way to make sure that the life of the young man was spared. And when they asked, "So what has happened to the young man?" He said, "What has happened to the young man is what happens to all that hate the king."
Amen.
He was killed and slaughtered. And there's a rebellion in the church. And I'm telling you, God is judging and will judge and make a full end of it. Hallelujah. You may see the people who are in rebellion walking around making a lot of noise. That's the way God functions. That's the way God functions. He sets you up and you have a good time. You're having a good time, but you know, every day, you know, it's like you put fire and then you have a long rope. Every day the fire is burning and getting close to you, you're running around.
Yeah.
Until you come to a point of no escape.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen in the church. The judgment of God is going to be total and final. And I don't want to be on that side of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, so God's order is that true offering must come from the soul. And for God to do that, He has to restore the soul. He has to restore your soul. And that is why we must go beyond the Pentecostal experience. And if you have not even come to Pentecost, it's mixed bad for you. It's good, it's also bad. It's good in the sense that you have not been corrupted by Pentecost. So you can come on. But if you have been there, then you have to work harder. Because you must come out of Babylon, you must come out of the systems of men, and then come to the Pentecostal experience, and then move on to tabernacles. That is the standard that God expects for you and for me. Because the measuring rod is for you. Say, measure the temple, and measure the altar, and them that worship
in the altar. The altar, again, is the soul. It's your hand. And that's the measurement. He says the cut that is without, don't even bother measuring it. You know, so God is not interested in the platforms. The platforms, when I say platform, that is ministry, religious meetings, like, I mean, this is a platform. Meeting in this room, the Wu Fellowship is a platform. God gives it to you. If you abuse it, God sets it aside and gets another platform. I don't know if you understand. God's business is the heart. He's not going to waste his resources. You understand? His investment is in your heart.
Yes.
He wants the offering from your heart.
Yeah.
And he's not going to bless any other business that you are going to get involved in if it is not going to serve his purpose to restore the soul. So if you are wise, then you make sure that your business is aligned to God's business. And there was a smart young woman, you know her name? Her name is Ruth. There's another smarter one, her name is Rahab. Smart woman. Hallelujah. He said, a Moabite will not enter the congregation of the Lord. I said, no problem. I'm no longer a Moabite. I'm an Israelite. And they entered and became the great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That is wisdom. Smartness. So if you understand God's principle, then you will order your business to fit into God's business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God's business is to restore the soul. So I will reshape myself and squeeze myself into that platform. My soul will be restored, and I will be in the business of those who are restoring the souls of others. Now, if you take care of that kind of business, God will take care of your business. Because God is not going to owe you. God will not owe any man. Hallelujah. So give, and it will be given unto you. Double measure, full time, running over. Amen. You know, so we're talking about in the wilderness, it says there was a beast carrying a woman. That's very interesting. So we're looking at Revelation 17. And we're talking about the peace offering. Or we're talking about the offering from the soul. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names or natures of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Let's just hold on there. So he's describing a beast. Now if you move over to Revelation 13, just put your hand there and then we'll just flip over. Revelation 13 verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, the sea refers to humanity. Okay? We didn't just come about that because in verse, if you go to 17, Revelation 17, verse 15, it says that the sea we thou sawest are the peoples, nations, and so on. So, the scripture defines what it means by sin. Okay, so it speaks of humanity. Alright? So here it says there is a beast coming forth out of humanity. Christmas is observed all over the world. Okay? So this is something that is coming out of humanity. Do you understand? It's a spirit that's working in man, in man's business. In man's business. Civilization is a manifestation of his spirit. Daniel 7 tells us that, okay? They say that there shall be four kingdoms upon the earth. There is no scripture that tells us there is a fifth kingdom. Do you understand? The Bible tells us in Daniel 7 that there are four kingdoms that will rule the earth. And there's no other scripture telling us that there is a fifth or sixth or seventh kingdom in terms of prophetic calendar. You understand that? Good. Now, the fourth kingdom, say, shall be the last kingdom upon the earth. And that is your tradition. This morning, God is coming after your tradition. The American tradition. It's Greco-Roman tradition. Okay, there are many Germans here. Or, well, people who have German descent. People who have British descent. Irish descent. Scottish descent. Some Italians. And then, on the other side, there are some who are Hispanic. And then who have Negroid. These are things coming, these are generations flowing down time. But they're all coming from Adam, isn't it? Okay. So the scripture says that there shall be the last kingdom upon the earth is the Greek, sorry, is the Roman kingdom. And you must have noticed, you know, something about the Roman culture. Roman art and culture took in everything that came from Greece, isn't it so? So the Roman culture took on the Greek culture and art and added its own. And they refined that which came from Persia, and they refined that which came from Babylon. So these are the four major cultures you find mixing in the world, isn't it? The Persian and the Babylonian culture represent the Middle Eastern or the Oriental traditions, isn't it so? Those ones were overcome by Greece, that refined everything that they had and added their own. And then Rome took it on, mixed it all up, and added its own. So the last thing that you have, what you call the so-called Western civilization, is Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and then flowing down to up to Daniel chapter 12. Is that clear? Are we in agreement?
Yeah.
Good. So, that is the setting that God is talking of. You know? And the Bible said that the sons of Japheth will possess the gates of their brothers. Will rule. That his brothers will serve him. And the sons of Japheth live in the book. So them are in Muhammad. A lot of them came from England on the Plymouth. On the what's that boat that came from
Mayflower?
Yes, Mayflower. France. They came across the Channel to the New World. Hallelujah. Isn't it sweet? It's sweet. So they came across. And when they got here, There are some chaps here. Yeah. You know, I've been looking at the names. Mississippi.
Yeah.
Idaho. Iowa. Wyoming.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Ohio. Those are Indian names, isn't it? Those are Indian names. So, when they crossed and they came here, there were people who were running around. You know, the Yellow River, the Grand Canyon, the Yellow Mountain.
Yeah.
They were here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, you had the Roman influence coming in, and then the Indian influence was already on ground, isn't it so? The Indians were not Christians. They didn't know God. They were sun worshippers. Sun worshippers. And they knew about blood sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't joke with it. The ones that came on the Mayflower are Satanists.
Satan.
Yeah. From England. Their religion is witchcraft and sorcery. They used sorcery and drove off the Romans from England. And they knew about the human sacrifice. If you go into the house of an Englishman, you will see the head of a horse or a deer hanging on the wall. What do you think that is? In the past, it used to be a human head. I'm not telling you a story. You just go to the internet and check your encyclopedia, you see. Headhunters. They cut the head and they preserve it. And they display it. And it's from there you have the yule, thorn, and all the different names with which they worship the sun god. Okay? And Baal worship was big time. Of course, I won't even tell you about Rome. In Rome, sacrifice was the order of the day. Anyone who knows Roman art, Roman history, they had a god for everything. There was a god for sports. Nike is a god of victory. Nike is a big American company. Nike, yes, is a god of victory. There was a god of war. What's the name now? Mars, I think. Then you had the god for the world. Is it not Neptune?
Yeah.
The god of sea. They had god of the sea, god of the moon, god of love. Romeo and Juliet celebrate. It was a worship to Aphrodite. And so on 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 and so on. You only need to just look at your normal life. And you find out that you are still in Rome. What do you do on Saturday? You go to the theater. What do you do on Saturday when you want to relax? You go to theater. It's just that now you don't have amphitheater. You go to theater on your laptop. On your computer. You go to the theater on your computer. It's very convenient. You can even go to the theater every day. In Rome, you go to the games. What do they do in the games? Human sacrifice. They had the lions, and then they had the slaves brought from different countries, from Germania, from Britannia, from England, of course, some across from different ancient barbaric tribes, according to them. Only Rome was civilized. Every other person was a barbarian. And they say Rome ruled the world. And blood. And most of that blood was Christian blood.
Yeah.
They will pour tar on Christians and light them up, and the Christians will be the torch for the games.
Wow.
Yeah. You need to read what's this book now? The I've forgotten the name now. The one that had to do the matters, something about the matters. I've forgotten it. Fox's book of matters.
Yeah.
Just get it. Fox's book of matters. Read it. And you think that you, with your going to Acapulco and lying in front of the sun, and someone who had to face a lion, they threw them to lions, and when the lions were coming, they were singing. They were, yes, the Christians, they were singing and offering their souls to God. You think that you and them, when they put you on the same pedestal, when God starts judging you, God says, oh good, that faithful. How was Acapulco? How was the sun? How did the cucumber taste? How sweet was the fish? That's what God is going to ask you. So there's a lot of religion in the church, and we are enjoying the benefits that we are obtained by blood.
Yes.
Those Christians, they lived in the catacombs. They lived in the ground. No air, no privileges. They lived under the ground. They hid. They hid from Rome. And they fought Nero to the ground. Nero burnt Rome and said it was the Christians. And of course, that brought him down, didn't it? And when they saw they couldn't win the Christian faith, they said everyone was not a Christian. Of course, that's how the Roman church came. Which is the big thing here in Dubuque, isn't it so? Alright. Of course, the Pontifex Maximus and all the blah, 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 and so on. So you are looking at an organized spiritual wickedness. Spirits that have come down the line. They know man. They know what man likes. And they are so convinced that they will win. And the rebellion was very strong. In the time of Absalom, the rebellion was strong. All the kings and all the nobles, all the princes went with Absalom. And right now, all the nobles of the earth are going with the devil. Gay parade is no longer hidden. It's now called the Pride Parade. Isn't it so? Gay Pride. So they're all coming out from their holes.
Yes, they are.
They're crawling out. And the government of the day is their government. And we love to have it so. Because we are supporting them. We are sympathetic to their cause. We like their games. The theaters. The movies.
Hollywood.
The entertainment. The computer games. We like their trousers, their pants, their fashion, their hair. We like the cortex, the fashion, the painting, the eyes, eyeshadow, all those things. Hallelujah. We cannot beat them at their game.
Amen.
We cannot beat them at their game. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And everything the devil has been doing is worship. I hope you know. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Worship.
Worship.
Everything I've been telling you is worship. man was made to bring worship. I want you to understand that. In fact, there's a man called Bob Dylan. How many people know Bob Dylan? He's a British pop singer. He sang a song. You know the song? He said, "You've got to serve somebody." See, you may be a pauper, you may be a barber, you may be a president, you may be a lawyer, you've got to serve somebody. Every man has a God. Every man has something he serves, that he gives life to. Man was created to give life. I want you to understand that. There's life in you to give. You know, we were singing that song, it flowed through me. I wish we knew what we were singing. You know, Proverbs 20:27 says that the spirit of man is the light. It's a creation God put in you that has the potential to be lighted or to be switched off. That's what he's saying. It's a candle of the Lord, giving light to the inward parts of the belly. That word, inward parts, speaks of different rooms. In fact, it says different furnished rooms. That's what the Hebrew is saying. And the scripture says, Jesus said, when an unclean spirit is cast out of a man, he goes around dry places. Meaning from that where he was coming from was not dry. The devil does not have access to life. The devil does not have access to the life of God.
Hallelujah.
The only way he can get access to life is through your soul and through my soul. Why do you think the devil is wasting time with you? If you're of no value, he wouldn't even spend 1 minute with you. Cancer, diseases, all the wars, violence, pain, quarreling, strife, contentions. These are platforms through which the devil sucks life from the earth. When you are complaining, the devil is getting life. When you murmur, the devil gets life. When you are angry, the devil gives life. When you manifest lust, fornication, pornography, and all the things that go with it, when you are bitter, when there is squat, these are offerings of life to the devil. We were meant to think that when you do these things, it doesn't matter, you're just being yourself. That is what I call deception theology. Deception theology. That the things that we have received to make us feel comfortable in our lifestyle. But the truth is that it's either you are bringing offering to God or you are bringing offering to the devil. There is no middle ground. And that is why we are looking at Revelation 17. Because it says that there was a beast that was carrying the woman. So there are two principles. One is the principle of the beast. This is what I'm talking about. We're not even discussing the woman. Because that woman speaks of a spirit of religion is a spirit of whoredoms. That's what it represents. The woman represents a spirit of whoredoms. Okay, we'll come to that so that I don't confuse it. Hopefully, I will deal with that in next maybe a few minutes. But let's finish the first aspect. We are looking at this beast that carries the woman, because you must understand the beast. The beast speaks of the nature of the soul. The beast speaks of the nature of the soul. When the soul operates without the influence of the Spirit of God. So let me draw that to make it clear. So we'll use three circles. You have this middle circle, that is the soul. Okay, with the four natures. Okay, and then this one the blue will represent the body, and then the black will represent the spirit. So this is the spirit, and then this is the body, and then this is the soul. God's order is that the spirit will receive life from the Spirit of God. That is the river that will water the soul. So we will represent that with green to say this is the life coming from the realm of the spirit. Now, a man who is not born again, a child that is born, Bible says that Jesus is the true light that lightens every soul that comes into the world. So when a soul comes into the world, it comes in darkness. What that means is that his spirit is non-functional. His spirit is dead. All the lights in the spirit have been switched off. He doesn't know God. He doesn't recognize God. John Paul Sartre and all the great atheists, Marx and so on, all those people who have shaped the modern concept of what they call humanist psychology. They say man is the architect of his own destiny. That is the philosophy that rules the world.
Humanism,
yes. You don't see, you don't talk, you don't do anything. Just do your own. Okay? Every man minds his own business. Okay? That is the doctrine on which Western society is built upon. Alright? So, when a man comes into the world, his spirit is dead. That's why you must be born again. You might be the Pope. You might be whoever you are. Your father may be a Christian. You yourself must also be a Christian. So your children, Christianity cannot be inherited. What you inherit is the Christian covering. There'll be a covering because of your Christian parenthood that comes over you. But you yourself, you must address your spirit. So if you're a young person here, you're playing around with God. You say, it's your father's church. Yes, it's your father's church. But you have to determine who your God will be. You must have a God. Who is your God? If it's not God, then Satan is your God. But Satan will not come to you. He will show you pornography. He will show you movies. He will show you Hollywood. He will show you fashion. He will show you, you know, these are what the Bible calls the image of the beast. There are platforms through which you submit to them, you give your life to them, but the devil is the one that gets the worship.
That's right.
The devil will not come to say, I'm Mr. Devil, although he's doing it now. Okay, Halloween and so on. Those are clear devil festivals. Easter, Valentine's Day, All Saints Day, all those things are clear satanic devil worship festivals. Whatever name you bring, they call it, it's still devil. So, the spirit is dead. If the spirit is dead, then the soul will be functioning. That's what the Bible calls dead works. So when a man is born again, he must repent from dead works. Because the soul is operating. The soul has been functioning. Doesn't know any God. And suddenly somebody says, I am God, you must worship me. For the soul to accept that, it must bring an offering. And that is a peace offering. The soul is going to surrender its Godship. It has functioned as God. It has not known any dominion. And now God says, I am the real God. So, that is what the Bible means by the peace offering. The peace offering was the offering of the fat of the animal. You know, the main thing is the fat on the kidney, the fat on the liver, the kidney, the organs. You bring it and you burn it. That was the offering of the inward part, the piece of self. So in the tabernacle, self is dealt with at the golden altar. But that's theology. And God is not interested in the theology. And we know the theology. And God says theology is over.
Yeah.
We must come to practical manifestation.
Yeah.
God is asking for a peace offering. We must bring the offering of our soul.
Amen.
And the offering God is asking for is self. Self must die. If self doesn't die, you can't cross over. And that is what this picture is showing you. The self at the four corners of the earth, the four horns of the altar, that must be broken. So, it says when you take the blood, you put it upon the four horns of the altar. You must anoint with blood before you bring the anointing of the oil. You anoint with blood to redeem it before you bring the anointing of the oil. So, when the man is born again, blood is brought. He receives blood. The blood has the life of God. Remember, when the man was born into the world, there is no life of God. Isn't it so? The soul is dead. There is no connection to God. No communion with God. But the first experience is when the blood of Jesus comes. And that's what we're speaking about, the blood. The blood brings the life of God. It brings the life of God into the soul. And the soul comes alive. So also does the spirit come alive. So the Bible describes this soul operating together with the body as beastly nature. So when you hear of the beast, it is speaking of the soul operating outside the government of the spirit. That is what the Bible calls the beastly nature. Now, the beast, this nature, sees itself as God. The Bible said that he as God, in the temple of God, sits as God, demanding worship as God. But you see, it's not only the self that is asking for that worship. There is another person who also is asking for the same worship. Who is that? That is the devil. That is Hillel. The Bible says that he said, I will arise over Zion. I shall be like the Most High. I will arise over the stars of God. I will overshadow them. So you have two gods struggling for dominion within you. So you have that, you have the Antichrist or the devil. That is the condition of the soul of man. And that is the commission of end time church. And we are not even addressing it yet. So do you see our predicament? For how many years now, the end time movement? You guys started before us in Africa. We have already run into the ground. The whole thing is organized. Huh? The whole thing is organized.
Organized.
Yeah. And the devil did that carefully. It just takes a little tangent off. A tangent off the mark is very wide. Not at the point, but a few years down the line. It will never meet. A tangent off the mark will never meet. And you guys, you have been several tangents. Just a little bit off the mark. So what God has been doing is shifting. When there's an off the mark, he moves on. Off the mark, he moves on. And that's how we have come to where we are now. There is a platform. I hope you have seen it. There is a platform. And God's interest is permanent. God's interest is permanent. Unshakable.
Amen.
The foundations of God are sure.
Amen.
But the players will change. So if a man comes and shows himself forward with God, God will throw him. God, if you come and you are crooked, you want to use God, then automatically God goes behind. So whether it's Catholic Church or Presbyterian Church or End Time Church, those are just names. The interest of God is uppermost. And what is God's interest? The soul must be saved. This soul is in real crisis.
Yes.
Jesus.
The soul is in crisis.
Amen.
And not just that, the soul itself has a problem because it is operating outside of the influence of God. That alone would have been difficult to deal with. But now the soul has an added problem. That the devil has an interest. He says that the soul, I will sit over it. So there is a spirit working to also dwell in the soul.
Yes.
There is a spirit working, spirits working, that want to say, your soul will be my dwelling place. God says, Zion shall be my dwelling place forever. So the soul of man is at the crossroads. It is the destination of God. It is the final dwelling place of God. The devil said, that final dwelling place of God will also be my own dwelling place. So when a man is born, he comes into the world already inhabited by spirits.
Yeah.
And that is what God calls Babylon. So if you go to Revelation 18, it says Babylon has become the habitation of every unclean spirit and hateful bird. And Jesus already told us about the spirit that we are dwelling in man. So that is what we are looking at. So the soul of man is already a habitation of spirit. When the children of Israel enter into the promised land, which is a type of your soul and a type of my soul, the land was already inhabited.
Yeah.
Is it so?
Yes.
They found the Canaanites in the land. They found the Jebusites in the land. They found the Amorites in the land. They found the Gagashites in the land. Some of them were dwelling inside the ground. That was the carnal fleshly. Others were dwelling on the mountain. Others were dwelling in the sea. The nature of the sea. The nature of the sea is the nature of fleshly lust and carnality and so on. So, the whole realm of Canaan represents the nature of the soul. And God said, fine, that's the promised land. Arise, drive them out. Drive them out. Then you possess the land. Do you understand? Someone said, no, I'm not ready to fight. I don't want conflict in my life. You don't know what you want. There is no peace without fight.
Amen.
And these spirits are not going to go out except by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, this kind cometh not out without praying and fasting. Because there are spirits that dwell in the flesh. They don't understand English language. They only understand blood. They understand the Spirit of God. So the Bible said that He casts them out by His Spirit. That He also casts them out by the word of His mouth. That's how you deliver the Lamb, by the ministry of the word and the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of the blood. So what do you think the devil will do? He will corrupt the word. He will dilute the word. He will become a teacher of the word. He will build Bible schools. He will affect the theologies. He will become even the Pope and the Bishop. He will now own churches and congregations. Why does he do that? So that the word is corrupted. Da Vinci Code. Oh, that there was no man called Jesus. And I asked them, was there any man called Julius Caesar? They said, yes. I said, oh. Did you see Julius Caesar? No. History said there was a man called Julius Caesar. I said, you're a fool. So you believe that there was a man called Julius Caesar by history?
Yes.
And history also tells you there was a man called Jesus Christ. He said, no, I will not believe that there was a man called Jesus Christ. Rather, I will believe that there's a man called Julius Caesar. Foolish people. It's clear. The history books are clear. Archaeology is clear. About a man called Jesus. There was a man called Josh McDowell. He was a young college student. He said, I will prove that there was no man called Jesus Christ. Today, he is the greatest apologist. He's written 2 books. Evidence that demand a verdict. And more evidence than demand a verdict. And he's saying that there was a man called Jesus. He set up to prove that Jesus never existed. Now he is the greatest preacher that Jesus actually existed. He lives here in America. Hallelujah. Josh McDowell. Yeah. I mean, all over the place. The foundation of God is very clear. And brethren, we have come to the point where we must decide where we are going to go.
Amen.
And how do you know the true ministry of the word? Very easy. Very easy test. Any man that tells you you cannot overcome sin, throw him out of the window. Any man or any ministry that gives you the slightest suggestion that you cannot overcome sin,
oh,
he is from the devil.
Amen.
He doesn't care if he has healed everybody in the book.
Yeah.
He has built all the churches in America. Any slightest suggestion that you cannot overcome the flesh is out.
Amen.
That's one.
Amen.
Number two, if there's any ministry that suggests that you cannot overcome the flesh or makes any allowance for the flesh,
okay,
it's on the same place, it's out.
Amen.
Number three, anyone that tells you you cannot overcome traditions, he is the father of the devil.
Amen.
Is that clear? Sin, the world, traditions. Those are the three tests.
Amen.
You don't need to know any book, know who he is. If you look at his life and his ministry, and he is making allowance for any of this. I don't pray about it. I don't go to say I want a word from the Lord. I already have a word from the Lord.
Yes.
And if the elders in that fellowship begin to play politics, God just walks around and moves on.
Yes.
If you start playing politics, you are asking, you see, he's our brother, he's this, forget it. God just passes on. Because God has one interest, to save the soul. And that is why God is no longer going to tolerate our politics. So God is going to require every man, every eldership, to determine where you stand. Are you for God? Or you are, you say, he that gathers with us is with us. He that does not gather with us is against us. It's simple. You say, other sheep have I that are not of this fold. What does that mean? There are 7,000, I don't know who they are. And I don't bother even to know who they are, because I will never know them. There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. They are all over the place.
Hallelujah.
So I don't wake up and say, God, I want to know. No, I do what I have to do.
Yeah.
If God wants me to come in fellowship with them, he will bring them. And I will know, because I have my test.
Amen. Amen.
I'm testing. I have my test in my heart.
Yeah.
It's a special measurement developed by God. Say, test the spirit.
Yes.
To know whether they are of God.
Yeah.
If you don't test, that is anything that happens is your own responsibility.
Amen.
That's what we have been told. You cannot blame God, because God has told you.
Amen.
And he has said, by their fruits,
yeah,
you shall know them. So why are you going to ask God, say, God, show me, when he has already shown you? Look for the fruits.
Yeah.
Look for the ministry. Check in your heart. Test the spirit whether they are of God or not. And if they are not of God, Bible says, do not give them God's speed. Isn't that in the Bible? Is any man that comes to you that doesn't bring this doctrine, what do you do? Say, do not give him God's speed. Yeah. Don't welcome him. Don't promote. Do not support. Do not give him place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 No, don't waste your resources. Because God has already... The problem is that the man is still shouting. The man is still preaching and calling God. You see, but he's preaching kingdom message. He's still talking about tabernacle and Babylon. Amen. Go and check by his fruits. Check the fruits. And gold plated is not the same as gold. One man went and polished brass and brought it into the tabernacle and said, this is gold. And the Bible says, all that glitters, all that glitters is not Good. Check it. Test the spirit. And the greatest warfare in the church is over the ministry of the word. But you see, there's a better way to check. You check by the spirit.
Yeah.
There is a spirit behind every ministry.
Yes.
There's a spirit behind every work. And that's why we must be spiritual.
Right.
If we are spiritual, then we'll be able to discern.
Yes.
If you cannot discern spirit, then you have no business in priesthood. Because Bible says this, priest must not be flat-nosed.
Yes.
That's one of the qualifications to be a priest. Leviticus 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Says, if the priest is flat-nosed, take him out. What does that mean? Discernment. You must discern the spirit. If you cannot discern my spirit since I've been talking here, you're in trouble. You must discern the spirit by which I am ministering. You must. It's a matter of life and death. No sentiment attached. Because for me, I don't have any sentiment. My wife even knows that. No sentiment. If my wife is walking by the wrong spirit, then it's wrong. It's completely out. And if I'm walking by the wrong spirit, I am also completely out. That's our rule. Hallelujah. My best friends are those who have the right spirit. My best friends are not the ones that are from my village or from my country or from my tribe or who buy me food, who buy me gifts, who say good things about me. Those are not my best friends. My best friends are those who want to do the will of God completely all the time. So you must define your boundaries. If not, you are not going to go far. Hallelujah. So the devil is in the business of corrupting the ministry of the word. And we must earnestly contend. Earnestly contend. For the faith that was once delivered. Why do you need to contend? Because of what I've said. Because the devil himself has also become an angel. Angel means a minister, apostle, end time minister of the gospel. If you cannot beat them, join them. And he has joined us big time. He has joined us big time. And he's preaching from our pulpit.
Jesus.
He is carrying your bag. He is on the same foreign mission with you. Everything you are doing, he's doing. Hallelujah. But the foundation of God standed sure. Hallelujah. The Lord known them that are his. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, another voice shall they not hear. Because they know the voice of the master. If you're a sheep, you will know the voice of the master. A man goes into error who has a receptor in his heart for error. I don't know if you understand. In science, there's what they call the receptor theory.
Yeah.
If somebody says you are a fool and you get angry, it means you have a receptor for that word.
Yeah.
You know why? He had just said something. Why should what a man has said affect me?
Amen.
He says I'm a fool. I'm not a fool.
Yeah.
It's like someone says, oh, you're a girl. Brother Mark, you're a woman. Would you think of it two times? You know, you're a man. And the man says, you're a woman. You're a woman. You're a woman. You're a woman. And you get angry. Why is he calling me a woman? Why? You know you're a man. You get up and you go your way. Because there is nothing in you to receive it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. A man goes into error who has something in him that wants the error.
Jesus.
That is there as an opening for the error to go in. And that's why we must deal with the heart. You say, David said, God, search me. Oh God. I know my heart today. Hallelujah. Every day you say, bring it. That is the peace offering. You bring your heart, say, God. Search me, oh God. And God will do it. Hallelujah. He will bring brethren, they will walk on your head, not on your toes, they walk all over your head.
Hallelujah.
When brethren start walking all over your head, you know what happens? Say, there's no love in this fellowship, I'm going out. That's right, you go. Say, there's no love in that fellowship. And you go to another fellowship where there is love. No problem. After 2-3 years,
yeah. Hallelujah.
The same problem comes up.
Amen.
They start walking all over your head again. You leave that one and go to another one where there is love. After 6 months, the same problem comes. Now you say, no. Now I'm going to start my own fellowship. Where I will be in control. And now you fall into the trap of Absalom.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Jesus is the head of every local assembly.
Amen.
Head of every local assembly that he has established. Now, there's the principle of the city of refuge. If you look at Joshua 20, Deuteronomy 20, he says the city of refuge is the place where you have the high priest. As long as the high priest is in that city, the avenger of blood cannot come in. Hallelujah. Be careful of starting fellowship. Be careful of joining yourself to a man who has an agenda.
Yeah.
He has an agenda. You join yourself with him. And Jesus is not the high priest in that city.
Yeah.
The avenger of blood will come. Cancer, disease, marriage breakdown, wayward children, will scatter the fellowship.
Jesus.
And after 4 or 5 years, you are the loser. Why? Because you join yourself with another man's rebellion.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
You joined another man's rebellion without asking questions. From whom? From the high priest. Because if you go to the high priest, he will tell you the fellowships that he has established. Say amen now.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that starts fellowship. And when he starts it, you know he's ahead.
Amen.
And that place will become a city of refuge. Every man who wants life, who wants deliverance, will run in there and will be saved. And the Bible says, as long as the high priest is alive, the avenger of blood, who is the devil, and the spirits cannot come in. So when brethren there begin to exercise authority, the devil cannot ask them questions. Do you know why? Because the Bible says that when you come into that city, you should declare your matter. You should tell the brethren, this is where I'm coming from. This is who I am. Many of us will come into the fellowship and we hide. Then when you start having problems, you say there's no life. Because you are not walking according to divine order. The divine order is that when you come in, you open yourself to the brethren, say, this is who I am.
Amen.
Hallelujah. These are my issues. Then the brethren begin to pray for you. The Bible says that the brethren will judge. The congregation and the elders will judge. And they will declare, this man did not kill his brother by intention. Therefore, he is free. Immediately they make that declaration. The Bible said they should give him a place within the city of refuge so that he may carry on with his business. And if the avenger of blood comes, they will say, yes, we have judged the matter. And he is free. Hallelujah. And if God declares you free, the covering is removed. Many of us, we have coverings over us because we are secretive. Yes, we're hiding things. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows where you are coming from. How can the body stand for you? Hallelujah. And that's what Brother Bot was saying. You cannot be a loner. Can't. The devil just pick you. You must come under the body. You may not like the face of the brethren. I'm telling you, I didn't like some brethren. They were too slow for me. You can ask Brother Bot, he knows. Ah, too slow. Too slow. You need men who are slow to pull you back to sit down. Sit down. Why is everybody not seeing what I am seeing? Well, if they are not seeing what you are seeing, God is saying, sit down. You pray for them to see. Hallelujah. Because you see, the watchmen will see eye to eye. Hallelujah. That's how you know God has spoken. If God speaks to you, He's the same. That word is in the spirit. Pray for them. They too, when they open their heart, that word will come to them. Yes, and that's the witness.
Amen.
If a young man says, comes to a young girl and says, I love you, I want to marry you, no problem. Let him leave you alone. You too go and hear from God. Because if it's God that spoke, that word is in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You don't say, I love his voice. I like his trousers. I love the way he walks. I love his language. I think he is a good guy. He's cool. That's not the criteria, young ladies. That's the criteria. The criteria is, has the Lord spoken?
Yeah.
How do you know the Lord has spoken? By opening your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. And you will hear that same word. And then when you hear the same word, then there's a witness. And if there's a word of the, such a word of the Lord, when the elders also pray, they too will hear the same word.
Amen.
So everyone is hearing the same word. Hallelujah. So there's an agreement in the church that this is the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's so simple.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But when we start doing other things, then we get into problems. Hallelujah. You know, so to close, the offering of the soul is where the church is now. This is the offering of the soul. The golden altar. This is the place where they burn incense. Isn't it so? I wish we had time to get into that. The fragrance. The aroma. Don't let anybody fool you. Your soul must be anointed. Your soul must have a fragrance. Before the king can accept it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That is the purpose of the golden altar. To present your soul as an offering to God. Hallelujah. That's where we are now. The ministry of the shewbread is to bring in the light of God into the soul. And that light will drive out the darkness. It's the preparation of the soul. The ministry of the lampstand is to bring anointing into the soul. Bring oil into the vessel So that that soul can become like the true wise virgin. It is when there is the anointing of the Spirit and the anointing of the Word that the soul is prepared to be offered to God. And when it comes as a true offering to God, he says, he will smell a good savor and he will accept it. If there is no ointment on the soul, then how can God smell? How can he please God? He said that he smelled a good savor and it pleased his heart. There's a difference between religion and offering. You find religion in churches, including End Time Church, including Dubu Fellowship. But God is looking for priests. New Testament priests who are bringing the offering of their own soul. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Do you understand? He said that Jesus, that one offering that he offered his soul to God as an eternal sacrifice. If Jesus offered himself, who are you that you will not offer your own soul to God? Hallelujah. And that is the platform of judging every man. And if we fail at this point, then there's nothing else God can do. So brethren, we have come to the plate. We have come to the mark. And we cannot afford to turn back. We cannot afford to be distracted. And as I always say, there are men who have come to this point and they have made a decision. Do you know their decision? I've turned back. They have decided there is too strong. The price is too high. I cannot offer it. And they are with you. When you meet them, they discourage you from moving forward. When you make friends with such people, or you become co-ministers with them, worse, if you even marry them, you know the result. Shipwreck. It's called shipwreck of your faith. You make a shipwreck. The ship cannot reach the shore. It will sink. That journey will not meet its completion. Paul said there are many who have turned away. See, they mind their own things. All men have deserted me. Hallelujah. It's not new. So we have come to that point. The End Time Church, that's where we are. And God says, on the Day of Atonement, any soul that will not afflict itself shall be cut off. So this is where we are, the affliction of the soul. The soul must be brought to that place where it says, you stop servile work. Now, there are three dimensions, three things happening at the Day of Atonement. I'll just mention that. One is that the soul has been a habitation of spirits. So now God is judging that so that it will no longer be a habitation of spirit. Rather, it will become a habitation of God. That's one. Two, the soul has been given life to these spirits, feeding them. And that's what the Bible calls servile work. Servile work. Servile. Do the work of a servant. Servile work. Serving the spirit. And the classic example is Ahab and Jezebel.
Yes.
That is an example of servile work. Ahab is a type of the soul.
Yeah.
Jezebel is a type of the spirit of whoredoms.
Yeah.
That rule over the soul to cause it to walk contrary to God's purpose.
Amen.
And that's why God is judging that spirit of Ahab and Jezebel in the church.
Amen.
God says, on the day of atonement, you will not do any servile work. The Bible said that Ahab served Baal and worshipped Baal. He not only served Baal, he worshipped. He bowed himself. He built altars to Baal. Those altars are in the heart. Huh? You go and bring in an altar of Baal and put it in your house. You know what that is? Television. Huh? iPod. Laptop. Those are altars of Baal. Okay, too hard. You can hear news, information, education, some entertainment from that. But if you are not careful, it becomes a platform to give your soul to the devil. Yes, we need it. Your phone is good. But it can go two ways. And the parents must get involved. We must read the Riot Act to our children. I wrote my children a text, a mail that says, so and so and so must now stop on Facebook. Yes, I got into Facebook. How many parents here are in Facebook? You must get into Facebook. You must get into, what's the other one they do? Skype.
Twitter.
Or whatever name they call it. YouTube, get in there. And you have a code of conduct. If you misbehave, you are shut down. Misbehave, you are down. Hallelujah. We must do it. Because these are the altars where life is being drained. The young man is in church, but he's playing Twitter at home in his mind. He's watching New York Yankees against Dallas Cowboys in his mind while he's in church. He's in church, but he's watching a ball game at home. That is the nature of the soul. That you think the devil is a threat. The devil is playing at the soul. Meanwhile, you are doing your own church business. He is walking at the level of the soul. Hallelujah. So when they come to church, there's no life. They have nothing more to give. All their life has been drained by Michael Jackson and Beyonce. Hallelujah. And God says, cause a bad worship.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. I've not even spoken about the traditional marriage, the so-called, Western. That is traditional marriage. You have to wear your long gowns, you do all your shopping, do your wedding cards, do your family wedding, do all the other. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's traditional marriage. Hallelujah. You bring in the devil into the marriage. 6 months, there's divorce. 2 years along the line, there's divorce. You are wondering what happened. What happened was that you brought in the devil into the marriage. And the parents must repent. The elders must repent. Christian marriage. See, what God has joined together, let no spirit put asunder.
Amen.
If you want to get married, get the consent. A young man lost it. Fine, God has spoken. The parents are in agreement. You come to church. That is all. Nothing else. Of course, you go to court and go and get your legal, whatever it is. And you come to church. They bless you. We can do marriage at the end of this preaching. You don't need the card to get married. You're looking at, you don't need rights and a Mexican chicken to get married. You don't need that. You only need this man to lay hands and prophesy and say, "Thus says the Lord." You only need the elders to pray and say, "Thus says the Lord." And they will bring the hand of God upon that marriage. That's what you want. That's why you pray. All the rice eating and shoe wearing and handbag and the bridal train is Babylon. It's not necessary. Hallelujah. The Bible says we should remember the simplicity in Christ. Like the simplicity in Christ. We have made the thing so complicated. It's simple. If you have the means to take us to Sheraton, to Grand Hilton, give us 7-course meal, that you have the ability, fine. We will sit down, I won't even eat that morning. We'll make sure that our tummy is empty. And we'll come and you feed us. You give us 7-course meal, we will eat. If you can only give us water to drink, we will still bless God for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Do you understand? That's the liberty. If you want to wear black and black, fine. If you want to wear white and white, fine. If you want to wear green and green, fine. Anything you want to wear, fine. It's not important. If you want to wear t-shirts, fine. If that's what you like, fine. We'll bless you. All those are not important.
Amen.
But we have brought the ceremonies into the church. And we say it's Christian. It's not Christian.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jewish marriage is not Christian. Jewish marriage is not Christian. We have Christian marriage. And that's what I'm describing to you. The Bible says, let your moderation be known by... Moderation means appropriate.
Yes.
You cut your coat according to your size. That's what Christian means. If you have $10, you can do $10 marriage. If you have $100, you can do $100 marriage. If you have $1,000, you can do $1,000 marriage. But I wish you would do $10 marriage and use the rest for missions.
Amen.
That is wisdom.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You do $10 marriage, use the rest and go on a foreign mission. Give it to sponsor a child in Philippines.
Yeah.
That is righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's costing you something. That is what Christianity is about.
Amen.
Brethren, we must overcome the spirit of America. You are wondering why the spirits are ruling over us, because we are submitting to them. We are American.
Yeah.
You are English. You are German. God is not here to protect Germany or America or Nigeria. Those things do not mean anything to God. God never established any nation. He only established one nation. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the only nation God set up. Jesus Christ. One nation. Under God. This other nation, they say they are not under God. They are under the eye. There is an eye in your dollar. That is 33 degree Mason. In your dollar. So God is not in it at all. The only God I know is the one in my Bible. And you must repent from being American.
Amen.
Do you know why? When the judgment comes on America, it will come on upon Americans. But if you are from Zion in America, the judgment will come, it will not touch you.
Amen.
Do you understand? God is judging America. He will judge Nigeria. The only way to get out of it is to become like Rahab. You put on the country of Christ.
Yeah.
When they look at you, you are not America, you are Zion.
Yeah.
The economy will not run by the American economy, it will run by the economy of God.
Yeah.
When people say there is a casting down, your business will boom. Do you understand? Because first of all, the spirit is different. If your spirit is different, then the spirit that rules America will not rule you. That's the point. So when people, their business is falling down, your own business will boom. It will expand. You are buying more land, employing more staff, more branches. others are selling their own. You are expanding because you are walking by a different spirit.
Yeah.
And because you are different, you can judge the spirit. You cannot be a government contractor and criticize the government. Do you know why? The first thing they will do is to stop your contract. If you are an American government contractor, the American government gives you a contract, and you stand up and start criticizing the government, the first thing they will do is what? They pull your contract. Hallelujah. And then you are finished. So the first thing to do is, first of all, get out of government. Depend on God. Then you can come out and talk about what's going on in the land. And the devil will not touch you. So if your economy is built on God, then the American spirit cannot touch you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we are in a time of great crisis. And God is giving us survival strategies. How to overcome. How to survive. How to deliver ourselves from what has gone on in the world. You know, so I think we'll just rest it at that point about offerings. The offering of the soul, the golden altar, and that which God is requiring us to bring. And God is tempering the body. He is, bone is coming to bone. Sinew to sinew. Joint to joint. Flesh to flesh. Hallelujah. And there's a new spirit coming into the church. Hallelujah. They say it's all over. They say, God says, no, it's not yet over. I'm reordering things. Hallelujah. You will first of all break down things before he starts building it up. Hallelujah. But there is a new spirit in town. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, they said, you know, with truth, that bread had come back. Hallelujah. Say, bread has come back. I say, fresh visitation. Hallelujah. God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm excited because I see a great visitation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I want to be on the front row.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I want to be in the front row.
Hallelujah.
I don't care who you are, where you're coming from, what your interest is. I only have one interest. I want to be on the front row.
Amen.
Amen. If God says this is where to go, that's where I'm going to go. If you have interest, then you have a problem. Because your interest is going to run against God's interest. And because of your interest, you will be distracted. You know, like Brother said, the only way not to be tempted is not to desire anything.
Yeah.
You know what he said?
Yeah.
If a man doesn't desire anything, how can you tempt him? He doesn't want anything. So the devil said, don't mind him, he's a madman. Don't mind him. How can he not desire anything? That's why God is bringing us to have no interest.
Yeah.
And you know what? We are like the cherubims. The cherubims have not have any interest. 24-hour worship.
Amen.
Eh? Their work is 24-hour worship.
Yeah.
Holy, holy is the Lord.
Yeah.
Holy means separation unto God. They are saying we are separated to God. Our interest is God. Immediately God declares his interest, it becomes our own interest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God is raising such a people on the earth.
Yeah.
Their interest is God. They are sold out to God. Their mind is fixed on God.
Yeah.
Their will is, they are terminally committed to doing the will of God. They have been tried, sifted, and God says, true, this will It's my will. Hallelujah. That's what God is doing. And that is a new generation. The new Zion rising up. Hallelujah. And to this, I will subscribe to. And to this, I think God wants us to subscribe to. Hallelujah. He said, upon this, for there, God commanded the blessing. You think you have seen blessing? Just hold on. I'm telling you, God is going to do things. There's going to be a new blessing, a new anointing, a new visitation. That, and it's coming upon the body. So upon him, upon the head. Hallelujah. If there's any time to be excited, it's now. If there's any time to be involved in what God is doing, it's now. The young people says, remember now thy God in the days of your youth. When you are young, that's when you give God all. You don't wait until you are old, when the bones are weak, when your emotions have been messed up by Hollywood and all the things. Then you now you bring those battered emotions to God. There's no life anymore. Bring the youth, the morning of your life. Say, God, here I am. Hallelujah. To such an offering, God will have respect. David Livingstone memorized Psalm 119 as a young man. As a young person. The whole of Psalm 119. How many verses are there? Every one of them he knew. Because he gave his mind to God. Hallelujah. Let us take our minds away from and give it to God. And the kind of blessings that God will give to us will not be able to contain. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just feel that we have to make an altar call. There's a place for a public declaration. And as I sat back, I felt God saying, we need to give an opportunity for those who want to make a consecration. You want to take a step to consecrate yourself, to rededicate yourself to the things of God, to the thing God is saying. Well, I think we're going to sing one of these songs and then we're going to have that opportunity. Just pray. Give an opportunity to for those who want to be prayed for, those who want to make a fresh business with God. For the young people who want to commit themselves to God, we are going to pray. Those who are not born again, this will be an opportunity. If you feel you have strayed away and you want to recommit yourself to God, this will be an opportunity also. If you have issues, things that you want to be prayed for, we are going to also pray. So I don't know if we can have sing that song again. Cover me, the one we were singing, flow through me, and then we can pray.